Hello and welcome to another podcast here on Manx Radio. This week I was away for most of it. Chris Williams was looking after the show and Judith Lay very kindly jumped in to do an interview that we had arranged with Ricky Ross of Deacon Blue. So without further ado, thank you and over to Judith.
Judith Lay, the nation.
Their most recent single, City of Love. It's been very well received here on Manx Radio. Also, the title track from Deacon Blue's new album, due out early next month. And the driving force behind this multi-million selling band is joining me now, Ricky Ross, founder of Deacon Blue. Welcome to the Isle of Man. Welcome to Manx Radio, Ricky.
Ah, lovely. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great to have a chat. And obviously, I want to talk a lot about your new music. But you've achieved so much since you started out in Glasgow in the mid-80s. We've just got to have a little word or two about 7 million album sales, 2 number one albums, 14 hit singles. And the singles are all classics. I have a late show here on Manx Radio. A number of times I'm asked to play Dignity, Wages Day, Real Gone Kid. These are terrific, strong, enduring songs. But you were a teacher before you were Deacon Blue. So what was the turning point, Ricky? When did you kind of throw the textbooks out the window and take off in the direction?
The kids out the window.
Maybe.
I was always writing songs. And, you know, when you write songs, it's a very natural progression. You want to kind of hear how they're going to sound. And to hear how they're going to sound, you need to, you know, get them recorded and all that kind of thing. So you can imagine that takes some sort of, you know, maybe other people to be involved and some finance. So, you know, it's kind of like a logical step. So it was a road of songwriting really for me. And I around about mid-80s, I went down to London. I'd been in a band. I wasn't very happy. But I knew the kind of ropes of how to kind of pass your demos around. And I passed my demos around to publishing companies, and the publishing company that loved my stuff was a company called ATV Music, which then was not Sony ATV, it was ATV Music. And weirdly enough, that's how things started for me. And oddly enough, just within the last month, I've just re-signed my publishing back to a woman that I met then, Fran Malin, who was one of the women at ATV Music then, eventually got taken up by different companies, eventually owned by Sony. And I've had so many different publishers over the years. And it's kind of weird that I've gone full circle and re-signed to Sony Music. So it's all kind of, you know, in my mind at the moment. But that's how it started for me, was writing songs and wanting these songs to be heard and, you know, finding musicians to play with me. And that's how Deacon Blue came about, really.
Well, for the most part, you do the words and the music. If you just look down your track listings, it's all words and music, Ricky Ross, words and music. What do you hear first in your head? Or do you get a few lyrics or do you hear a tune in your head? How does it all work?
Well, it depends. On this record, for example, I would say I've written maybe as much as maybe half of it with Gregor, who plays guitar and does a lot of production with me. And I would still always do melody and lyrics when I do a co-writing situation. But sometimes different things come. You know, sometimes I'll sit with a title like City of Love, for example, was one of these ones that was sort of sitting there thinking, okay, that's, you know, how do I make sense of that? Sometimes maybe it's a little thing that I'll play on the piano and I'll just record it my phone. And I usually just put these things down because they're, and then I have to go back and decipher them. Go, what was that? And you know, if you play on your phone, it's a pretty rough recording of you just kind of, you know, singing along with something on the piano, say, or guitar, and then you think, oh, is there something there? You know, you know, 2 days later, maybe a week later, sometimes months later, you go back and you go and you listen to this thing. And I was thinking maybe that's kind of, I don't know whether that's a normal experience. And one day I was listening to Paul McCartney talking about his songwriting experience, it's exactly the same thing. Thought it must be quite a, yeah, I think it's quite a common way of working. But sometimes it's just an idea in your head. It's not necessarily even fully formed. It's just a collection of words and you think, how do we make sense of that? And that, oddly enough, sometimes even the first thing you sing, you're just making up things in your head. And then you listen back and you think, actually, hold on, there's something in that lyric there that's quite, I didn't mean to sing that, but what is that? You know, and you sort of, you know, you kind of try and pull it out. And I think for most songwriters, certainly that I've experienced in co-writing with people, that's kind of how it works. It just starts with a little thing that intrigues you enough to want to explore it further.
Well, we're going to, in a moment, explore the theme of City of Love, your new album. But just doing a little bit of Deacon Blue history, you know, you were phenomenally successful between 85 and 94 with all these string of hits. And then you came to the point the band split in 94. Would you say you were right for a split at that point?
It wasn't a creative place. You know, we'd made four records and there wasn't a fifth album that would have been easily made. I think that was a difficulty. And I think it came out at a good time. I mean, everyone did different things, but really because, you know, we were no longer going to be working as a band.
But you had lots of side projects, solo albums. You'd done a solo album before Deacon Blue, hadn't you? And then you did more solo work, and you married Lorraine, Deacon Blue founding member. and you actually had an album together, didn't you? As
yeah,
Macintosh
we did.
Ross.
Macintosh Ross, yeah. We still keep meaning to do a follow-up to that, but we haven't got around to that, yeah.
You just haven't got time, I would guess, really. 5 years later, you had your reunion gig. That led to an album, Walking Back Home. Then the band working on a part-time basis. Do you think that because you had lots of side projects and the band was working on this part-time basis, do you think that's what's kept you working so well now?
Yeah, I think so, Judith. I think that sometimes when you're all in each other's faces and you're going to say, what are we going to do next? You know, it kind of leads to pressure that shouldn't necessarily be there. You know, Doogie doing TV, Lorraine doing acting, Jim was doing academic stuff. I think it also gives people another way and a hinterland, and they say, you know, there's more to life out there, and it's good. It's really good for people to do other things. For myself, I discovered a joy of doing radio as well, which is a thing I still do. And, you know, I just think another musical project, meeting other musicians and so on. Yeah, I think it's healthy. And also it means that when you do come together to do Deacon Blue stuff, everyone really enjoys it because it's a bit of a, it's kind of exciting again and different to what they've been doing every day.
Well, certainly you've got that freshness, that excitement. There's no sort of same as in the work that you're doing. And City of Love is your fourth Deacon Blue album in the last 7 years. That's a prolific output, isn't it?
It is for us, yeah, certainly. I think, slightly surprised ourselves. But yeah, I mean, it's since 2012, there's been four albums, and we did a live DVD and album and also a Christmas EP, which we've done. So, you know, it's been a busy old time and lots of touring, obviously. So it's been quite an interestingly busy time for us.
Your last three albums have put you back into the top 20 of the UK album charts, most recently posting at number 13, giving you one of your highest charting albums in 23 years. Now, to my mind, that can only mean one thing. You're not just keeping your solid fan base, but you're bringing in new fans.
Well, we're certainly doing, you know, we're certainly playing to more people each time we go out, which is a lovely thing. And we're also playing in more countries than we've played in a long time. So that's a new thing. We've been back to Australia and New Zealand in the last couple of months. We've been out into Europe in the last year. And I think for us, that's great. You know, so you know, something has been happening which has been quite exciting, and maybe people are rediscovering, you know, that you're kind of there and coming back. But certainly in terms of what we're picking up from people coming to see us live, there's more people coming. So yeah, I mean, it's we're honored and flattered and a little bit surprised, but we kind of work hard. We try and make it an exciting show. We try and do things to make each night special. So I guess that that's something that's paid off for us.
Well, there's no question of it. You do work hard, because the City of Love tour that's coming up later in the year, you've got lots of dates there, starting off in Holden, Germany, coming to the UK. Very happy to see that we have got three touching points where the Manx fans can get across. We've got Blackpool, we've got Liverpool, we've got Manchester. An easy reach distance for your Deacon Blue fans on the island to go across and join in one of those concerts.
Yeah. Well, but I just hope that you can hop on a plane or you can get a ferry and come and see us. I'm sorry we can't get over, but yeah, I'm hoping people can make it. We've played twice in the Isle of Man, actually. We played in the 2000s in Douglas at the Hall there, and we played at the big festival as well, but in a big tent one time. There's very few corners of the British Isles that Deacon Blue have not actually played a gig on, I have to tell you.
And that's another thing that I think reflects your popularity. You're into the arenas and the big venues as well. You know, if you can bring that crowd in, that's a measure of your popularity, isn't it?
I think that's true, and I think that we're flattered and really, you know, really delighted that people are coming back. And you know, sometimes you get these kind of things. You know, we didn't tour last year. People are like, why are you not touring? Because you can't do it every year. You can't possibly do it. But we've been out a lot over the last, as you pointed out, over the last 8 years or so, and we enjoy it. You know, we really do enjoy getting out on the road, and every night is oddly. You know, it used to be that you have your hometown gig, and gigs in Scotland might be sort of more significant because you come from there. But actually, every night, wherever it is, it's like a homecoming, because people have in these cities have kind of followed you on that road. So they're all special nights.
How does it feel, Ricky, when the crowd sing your songs back to you, all your greatest hits from the 80s and 90s? How does it feel?
It feels great. I mean, it's a lovely compliment, I think, when people sing your songs back to you. And for an old bloke like me who forgets things, it's very handy.
Come on.
No. But no, it's good. It's a lovely thing. It's a great acknowledgement of the fact that, you know, the fact that people know songs and they know them in their heart is the fact that the song has landed, you know, in some kind of way, that it's become part of their life. Any artist would say to you, that's a real compliment.
And I am sure that before long they will be singing back to you tracks from City of Love. Now, we've been playing the title track. We've got here on this new album 11 brilliant new tracks, all held together by this singular belief that even in the corners of a town or a life where no light falls, hope can prevail. Now, I'm quoting that as your take on the album. Did you start off with that concept, or thinking back what you said just a few moments ago about the songwriting process, did that emerge as you were putting this all together?
Yeah, I think what happens is when you get a record and you pull it together, certain songs, well, actually, that works. That works with what we've been doing. That works with what we've been singing about. And that works with what we're interested in. And I think that emerges over the course of the album, and then you get a chance to kind of reflect on, well, where are we now? Where have we arrived at? And so, and usually without starting to say, oh, this is going to be what the album's about, because you don't know these things, usually there is a sort of sense in which an album has an atmosphere of its own, has a little thread running through it. And I think that kind of little hope, I think that optimism is there in this record, definitely. And I think that it's one of the kind of miraculous things about cities and people, and they come through incredible times, difficult times, and they pull themselves back and they pick themselves up and they get on with it. And I think that's the optimism that's in City of Love.
Do you think it's inevitable that you write out of experience, so that as you get a little older and you acquire more experience of life, relationships, emotions, that will reflect in the way you express yourself in your songs?
Yeah, I think it is, Judith. I think you have to be honest with yourself. I think you have to write about the age that you are and not about the age you think you are. And I think you have to write love songs about the stage you're at as well, because that's more interesting, because you've never been there before. You know, as a writer, you've never been the age you are or the stage you are, and you're 2 years older than when you wrote your last record. And I think that it's always interesting to be that slightly into the next bit of life, because you've never experienced that before. And it's going to be more interesting to write about that from that perspective than it is to try and reimagine what you might have thought 20 years ago. I've always been interested in artists who represent their actual age rather than trying to kind of have this some sort of notion. I think with pop music, when it started out in the 50s and 60s, there was a sort of notion that was really about eternal youth, and people couldn't accept the idea of Elvis Presley, for example, getting older. But to me, all these things were much more interesting. So the artists that I love, you know, many of whom are in their 70s, some are in their 80s, you know, I kind of think it's interesting. I think Leonard Cohen was interesting in his 80s. You know, I think that Bob Dylan's, and you know, really fascinating in his 70s. I want to hear what he thinks now. I don't want to hear what he thinks he might have thought when he was 40. Yep.
Now, we're going to be playing out with the next single release from the album. The album itself out in early March, but ahead of that, Hit Me Where It Hurts is the next single release. You say this is a slightly darker cut from the record. You say, we think it's the end of a love story, but actually it's just the beginning.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, when people fall in love in some, whatever way it is, it usually surprises them. You know, it's usually not the last thing they're expecting. And Hit Me Where It Hurts is about that. It's just like someone who just thought they got it all together, you know, all sorted out, and then their life is completely derailed.
But it's true. It is when we think we've got it sorted that we're at our most vulnerable, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Deacon Blue, new album, City of Love, coming out very, very soon. This is the great new single that we'll be playing here on Manx Radio. Ricky, thank you so much for talking to us.
Judith, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. Hurts. Just
It's the second single to come from Deacon Blue's brand new album. It's due out on Friday, the 6th of March. City of Love. Absolutely fabulous. And thanks again to Judith Lay for jumping in with the Ricky Ross interview. Brilliant. I better be careful. She'll be doing them all. Keep coming back to this here website for more podcasts with guests, various, on Manx Radio's morning show. I'm Mark Tiley. Look forward to your company again soon.